It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A few weeks into President Trump's second term, we continue to check in with Wisconsin's congressional delegation.
Tom Tiffany is a Republican U.S. representative for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. I talked to him yesterday.
I want to start off with a couple of your priorities in Congress. You and some colleagues have reintroduced a bill that would take wolves off the federal endangered species list. Now, we could go back and forth on the saga and the courts and the laws on this. It would take more time than we have. This bill, what are you hoping to accomplish?
Yeah, we hope to get the delisting to occur. You know, the wolf has recovered. 26 wildlife biologists in the upper Midwest a decade ago, they said to the federal government, the wolf is recovered. You need to delist. And so, you know, it's ping pong back and forth. We passed it through the House, the delisting last session. I expect we'll be able to do that once again this session. But I'm much more hopeful that we're going to be able to get it through the Senate and on to the president's desk in this session.
Now, something that struck me, and correct me if I'm reading this wrong, was there an element of this bill that says, hey, you can't challenge this in court anymore?
Yeah, that's right. We've seen a couple times in the last decade where judges on the coasts, in particular Washington, D.C. and California, they step in and with very little knowledge of wildlife management, and they say, no, we're going to relist the wolf arbitrarily. Montana and Idaho, they passed this over a decade ago, or it was passed by Congress for them in Montana and Idaho, saying to them that you can, the wolf will be delisted and there will be no judicial review. And it has not harmed their populations out in those states. We think we can do the same in the rest of the United States.
You've also introduced a bill that would help codify President Trump's executive order aiming to end diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives in the federal government. Talk about why you want to do that, what the goal is.
Yeah, we named the bill the FAIR Act. And if we're going to stop discrimination in America, it should start with the federal government no longer doing the discriminating. It would make the country purely merit-based and would end those discriminatory programs that were put in place after the Civil Rights Act was passed in the 1960s.
Supporters of DEI would say, well, hang on, that sounds like you're talking about affirmative action. A lot of diversity initiatives and so on are, you know, in the workplace. Can we make this a friendly place for people of different races, maybe for people who have been discriminated against historically? Do you worry you might lose something valuable there?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. In fact, the Civil Rights Act is one of the most important pieces of legislation passed in the history of the United States, and we want that to stand. But if we go back to Martin Luther King's famous speech where he said, let's judge people by the content of their character, and that's what we're attempting to do here. My co-author, Burgess Owens, an African-American man from Utah, strongly is advocating for it as well as many others. And I think this is something, its time has come here in America. We have always been a country that has sought to be a colorblind society, and this will help us get to that point.
One concern people have raised in some of the recent appointments, an undersecretary in the State Department just appointed had a quote on X, formerly Twitter, last year, quote, competent white men must be in charge if you want things to work, end quote. And people point to that and say, well, hang on, if that attitude is coming into our workplaces, do we need some kind of attention to diversity?
Oh, I think that there is, regardless of whether you are in the private sector or the public sector, you're always looking for the best people. I just had a meeting this morning with a group of major companies that belong to the Business Roundtable, and they said, we are hiring people regardless of their immutable characteristics. We are hiring the best people, and we will continue to do that. I think it's time to move past the events of the 20th century, which were so important to do, to pass the Civil Rights Act, make sure that people had equal opportunity. I think we can do that now without affirmative action and some of these other programs that were put in place that ended up being used at times inappropriately.
Turning to the Department of Education, you are, I believe, co-sponsoring a bill aimed at ending the federal Department of Education. A fair amount of money flows up and then through that to schools around the country. Make the case for getting rid of that department.
Yeah, so the Department of Education has been around since 1979 at the end of the Carter presidency. And have we seen educational test scores go up since then? We have not. And I don't think that we've seen results from the Department of Education. I trust our local and our local communities, our local school boards, and our states. Every state has a Department of Education. Let's let them operate their educational programs.
One argument has been, you know, if each state is doing its own thing, it makes it hard to make apples to apples comparisons from state to state. Whether it's at the Department of Education or maybe wrapped into another department, do you think there's still some kind of room for federal data collection, oversight, that kind of thing?
You know, I think there's a couple things like, for example, the student loan program or the disabilities program that is operated by the Federal Department of Education. I think Congress can continue to authorize those programs, but just put them in a separate agency. We can end the Department of Education while keeping some of the good aspects of what they do.
We're talking to Wisconsin Congressional Representative Tom Tiffany about his priorities in Congress and now looking at the presidential transition and a lot of news there. Representative Tiffany, one thing that's shown up in Wisconsin, these efforts to freeze federal funding, some stop and start there. Half of Head Start programs in Wisconsin were unable to access funding as of Monday. Some of them have gotten back now. Some had to close, tell parents, hey, no, we don't have child care for you, especially in Waukesha. Do you have concerns about how some of these changes in the executive branch might be hitting your constituents in Wisconsin?
Now, I heard of a Head Start program up in my district that was closing in the last month, but that had nothing to do with the pause in funding that is going on as a result of President Trump's executive order. This is just to do a review of discretionary spending. Let's make sure that discretionary spending, using hard-earned tax dollars of the American people, that it's being used for the appropriate purposes.
But that one in Waukesha, anyway, they did have to close because of that pause in funding. Is there a way to do this in a more organized fashion that doesn't shut down services while those reviews are happening?
Yeah, I would like to see, I'd have to see the specific example there and review it because I have not. And if that's the case, and it should not be paused, then that funding should continue. So if it's a worthy program, I believe the Trump administration is going to continue to fund it.
More broadly, constitutionally, some people have been making the argument, hey, these are appropriations passed by Congress, signed by presidents in the past. Congress famously has the power of the purse in the American, as described in the American Constitution. People saying this is executive overreach. They're unilaterally attempting to delete programs without going to Congress in the appropriate manner. Do you worry that your prerogatives in Congress are getting a little stepped on?
I believe it's appropriate that this administration is saying, hold it, time out. We want to make sure that this money is going to appropriate purposes. So did we appropriate the money? Yes, we did. But it is up to the executive branch to make sure that the money is going out in a fashion that represents the will of the American people. To take a little time out here to say, we're going to review some of these, I would say it's about time, especially with us being $36 trillion in debt and counting. We have to start paying attention to the incredible indebtedness we have here in America.
Another agency that you've talked about online and elsewhere, USAID, the International Development Agency, talking about not just reviewing, but shutting it down. Elon Musk has talked about that, President Trump as well. I want to quote Brian Riedel, a senior fellow at the Conservative Manhattan Institute, writing on X, quote, the president has zero legal authority to shut down, defund, or otherwise cripple a $50 billion agency, audit it, identify unnecessary expenditures, draft reform or rescission proposals, then go to Congress to pass a law. Your thoughts on how an organization like USAID should be handled?
So when you take a look at the spending that has gone on by USAID, when they're funding drag shows in Colombia and Peru, things like that, funding Sesame Street in Iraq, various programs like that that they've run around the world. I think it's time for an administration to be proactive and make sure that this money is actually being spent in an appropriate manner. And I would take you to a much bigger expenditure. We just heard from President Zelensky in the last few days that there's $100 billion in his words, $100 billion that's unaccounted for that was supposed to come from America to Ukraine. It is time that we have an administration that questions this spending that's been going on in the name of nation building, that is it truly accomplishing its goal for the American people?
Then questions about the procedure. Elon Musk, owner of Tesla, X, other businesses, some of his staffers, getting access to the payment system, people's Social Security numbers, if they're on Social Security receiving payments, a variety of outgoing money. Questions about the haste with which this was done. Your thoughts on the method of this DOGE department that the president has appointed?
Yeah, it's time that government expenditures be scrutinized. And who better than somebody like Elon Musk, who truly understands the technology that you can do this rapidly? The young people that he has brought in, they're very tech savvy. I find it very interesting. Some of those people who are wailing the loudest, shouldn't there be sunshine on this process? Shouldn't there be sunshine with the money that's being spent in the name of the American people by these agencies? Shouldn't we know where that money is going? That's all they're attempting to do. And I would say to you, it is about time.
But the Elon Musk has, of course, lots of government contracts. He might be able to see expenditures going to his competitors for those contracts. Economic exposure in China, half his production, third of his sales there for Teslas. Is he the guy?
Yeah, I think he's doing a very good job of this. But remember, ultimately, who the buck stops with. It stops with President Trump. And President Trump has made it very clear. Elon Musk works at his behest. President Trump ultimately controls this, and that's how you will prevent the abuse.
Representative Tiffany, thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Rob.
That's Tom Tiffany, U.S. Representative for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. We're checking in with members of the state's congressional delegation.
Coming up on Wisconsin Today, find out how recent policy changes could help thousands of kids in the state's foster care system.
It really prevents kids from crossing that threshold into out-of-home care a lot of the time, which carries some trauma.
The head of the Department of Children and Families, that conversation is next from WPR News.